This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network, mate. You probably knew that, though.
Hi, I'm Steve Kenson of Green Ronin Publishing. You're listening to The Tome Show.
Welcome to The Tome, Episode 28. I am your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. The Tome is a D&D news and review podcast, and in this episode, we will be saying goodbye to Dungeon Magazine. Welcome again to episode 28 of The Tome, the final Dungeon Magazine. I'm sorry it took me so long to get this out to you. That is no fault of William Paul's. He had this done and sent to me a little while ago. I've been slacking off on getting my dragon end of it done, so I decided rather than making you wait for me to have both of the final issues recorded and edited and ready to go, why don't I go ahead and give you what I've got? So here is the final issue of Dungeon Magazine from William Paul, who is also going to start bringing us news with the Pathfinder line of products, which will be really cool because those look really interesting. And I'm going to try a little something different with the promos this time around. I'm going to try putting the promo partway through the review to sort of just break up the episode a little bit. This might be a little bit shorter of an episode because you're just getting the Dungeon Magazine, but that was sort of the idea behind what I told you I was going to start doing with the show as much as possible now. So here you go. Enjoy. Take it away, William Paul.
This is William Paul with a review of Dungeon 150, the final issue of the magazine dedicated to Dungeon Masters for the Dungeons & Dragons game. I say final issue, though technically it will still continue. Final issue because it is the final print issue. Final issue where there will be a hard copy. For the past 4 to 5 years, it has been published by a company called Paizo Publishing for Wizards of the Coast, the company that holds the license for the magazine. Wizards of the Coast, as most of you know, has taken the license back from Paizo, and starting in October with issue 151, they will provide the magazine through an online format along with its sister magazine, Dragon. Now, obviously, we will get into issues 151 in October when it comes out. Right now, we are dealing with, as I said, issue 150. Now, this is the September 2007 issue of the magazine. It will reach newsstands, has reached newsstands at this point, on the 15th of August 2007. Now, as I have with all the other reviews of this fine publication, I am starting in the back and then moving forward. We're going to start this off with the monthly edition of Dungeoncraft, written by Wolfgang Bauer, illustrated by Kyle Hunter. This month is Designing Mysteries That Last. This 2.5-page article provides tips on inserting a mystery and keeping that mystery going and exciting, interesting for your players. It provides hints on how to present clues, false clues, how to deal with witnesses in those mystery adventures. It also provides tips on dealing with the divination spells that are prevalent in a D&D setting, the magic that would otherwise provide all the shortcuts. One suggestion that I really liked in this is when dealing with the spell Speak with Dead. Now, of course, in a murder mystery, trying to figure out who the murderer is, well, the corpse only knows what the person knew when they died. If the murderer came up from behind them, stabbed them in the back, you know, the person who killed them won't know, so the corpse won't know. Also, if the corpse can't talk, there's no way to get the spell to work. So, if the corpse has no head, or even no lower jaw, hey, you can't, you know, the people investigating the murder can't use that. So, a key tip for all those murderers out there in D&D world. Next, we move on to the campaign workbook. Now, usually there are two installments per issue for the campaign workbook in an issue of Dungeon. This month, being the final print edition, we have double the amount. We have, for the city, Bar Fight, written by James Sutter, illustrated by Kyle Hunter. This page-and-a-half article provides generic stats for a bartender and your run-of-the-mill bar patron. It also provides 11 sample reasons to start a bar fight. Now, these reasons could directly involve the characters, or they could just be innocent bystanders. My favorite of these is the Bored Enchanter. Now, I'll just let your imagination run wild with how a Bored Enchanter could start up a rip-roaring bar fight. The chaos ensues, couldn't it? Next up, we have the God Trap, which is a part of the dungeon in the campaign workbook. It was written by F. Wesley Schneider, illustrated again by Kyle Hunter. This article provides information about the false God Trap machines out there in the D&D world. It provides a small history on these devices and how they're all the false God Trap devices are basically attempts to recreate the original God Trap device. The original God Trap device is a machine that a wizard used to project himself into divinity. He made himself a god. The original God Trap machine, the non-lesser one, that is expanded on in the Expedition to the Ruins of Castle Greyhawk, put out by Wizards of the Coast. This article deals with all the attempts to recreate that machine. Essentially, when you strip away all the fluff, this article provides a means of providing a template to a character if you meet all the criteria in being able to get the machine to work. It provides a list of 5 different templates that would be able to be added. Fiendish, celestial, half-elemental, you know, some examples how they would work. I would expect that, given enough creativity, I would expect, depending on how creative you are, you can use this as a jumping-off point to create methods of applying other types of templates through all the various books that have templates in them. For the third installment of the campaign workbook, this, a part of the critical threat line in the campaign workbook, we have the Fiend Sage. The Fiend Sage is provided by Sean K. Reynolds. It is illustrated by Julie Dillon. This is a great new big bad evil genius you can use if you need one for your game and just haven't designed one by yourself. This guy is great to pick up and insert into your game, and oh, he's vicious. It is a CR20 opponent, large outsider, and he has a hyena head, has lots of spellcasting ability, obviously a sage, knows lots of magic. He's got a snake growing out of the side of his neck. Now, the thing that caught me off guard with this is you've got a spellcaster here, and you wouldn't expect many physical attacks being available to something like this. Yeah, the snake growing out of its neck, poison damage. Let me just warn you. 2d6 con, 2d6 con, and the Fort Deceive, Fort Difficulty, clap. The poison damage deals 2d6 con for both the initial and secondary damage, with a fortitude save required of 29. Yeah, so if you roll poorly on both those saves and max con damage is rolled, yeah, you're dealing with losing out on 24 con. Not a fun perspective. If you die as a result of this poison, you get turned into a fiend. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Only way back is through a miracle or wish. So, I haven't had a chance to run many high-level games, but I would love to use this guy against my group. Next, we have a wandering monster in the campaign workbook called a Durgaloth. And it was created by Todd Stewart, this illustration in the magazine provided by Julie Dillon. This monster is essentially your run-of-the-mill frontline foot soldier cannon fodder in the Blood War. Obviously ending in Olaf. It's a demon of some type, demon, devil, all those fun things, always having fun fighting in the Blood War. Now, I have to say, probably the thing that caught my eye about this article the most is the illustration provided to us by Ms. Dillon. It looks like a Zorn with an Umberhulk head just dropped on top of it, holding three scimitars in its hands. It looks very vicious. Next, we come to the Map of Mystery, which, instead of just a regular Map of Mystery one-page map provided to us by cartographer Christopher West, we actually have a two-page spread of a dungeon delve, and it does hold up to Mr. West's typical style, typical quality. But in addition to that, with this being the final print issue of Dungeon, Christopher West has also provided to us a fold-out poster map of the Lands of Mystery. Here on this map, we have three or four continent landmasses with numerous locations spread out through the entire map. We have an index of 21 locations which tell us where all 30 or so of the maps that he has done in the past issues of Dungeon are located on this fold-out poster. If you ever need a world map for a homebrew setting and you don't have one, this is great. I will put this to use most likely very soon in my campaigns. I love this. I've always been a fan of good maps. That being said, the two cartographers that Dungeon has used that I've become familiar with, Mr. West and Mr. Lazaretti, Robert Lazaretti, I love their work. Now, before I move on to the three modules, the three adventures in the issue of the magazine, I do want to take a few moments to mention a couple other things that were included in this issue. Normally, the final page of the issue is reserved for the... The final page of the issue is reserved for the Map of Mystery. This time, since it took up two pages, on the final page of the issue is a collection of notable NPCs from the magazine's past. We have Downer from Kyle Hunter, the recurring comic that actually did come to a close this month. We have Balabar Smenk of The Age of Worms. We have Eli Tomerast from Mar Castle. We have James Jacobs, iconic cleric, Tyra Landy, who he used in a Age of Worms game run by Eric Mana, I believe, the publisher of Dungeon. And I believe we also have a kobold. I believe Meepo is the name, not certain. And then Vanthus Vanderborn. Also on this last page is the signature of the cast of Dungeon. I'm sorry, not the cast, the staff of Dungeon. And it's quite a fitting tribute to them, a way of saying thank you to the fans for their work. Now, on to the module, the adventures. First, we have the low-level adventure entitled Kill Bargle. And this is for 4 third-level characters. And it is set in the first adventure that we have. The low-level adventure is entitled Kill Bargle. It is for 4 third-level characters, and this is a throwback to the Dungeons & Dragons Basic Dungeon Master's Rulebook. This adventure was originally published in that oh so many years ago, many years before I started playing Dungeons & Dragons, but reading through this, it is interesting. I find it interesting to find the nostalgia quotient must be very high for those that did play Dungeons & Dragons back then, possibly to be able to run through this adventure once again with the updated rule set. Now, looking through this adventure, it does appear to be a large dungeon crawl.
Hey, what's with all the monkeys at the typewriters?
They're writing stuff for our podcast.
I thought they were supposed to be writing Shakespeare.
Common misconception.
So, what's the podcast called again?
Gamer's Haven.
Thousand Monkey Productions presents Gamer's Haven.
Whatever.
So, why don't we tell these people what it's about?
People? I only see monkeys. Ow.
No, he's talking about the people out there.
Oh. Still don't see any people.
They're the listeners.
Is that anything like the Watchers?
No. Just tell them what the podcast is about.
Oh, we have a podcast?
Oh, brother.
What?
The podcast the monkeys are working on.
I thought they were writing Shakespeare.
Just tell the listeners that the podcast is Gamer's Haven, a podcast about games and advice on how to run them.
If they were listening, I wouldn't have to repeat myself.
Well, that made no sense.
Huh? I wasn't listening. Ow.
We do topical shows to help game masters out there.
Is that like a topical cream? Oh, I've got this horrible rash.
Just run the stock clip.
Visit us on the web at CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Kenson of Green Running Publishing. You're listening to The Tome Show.
The first of the 3 modules, the low-level adventure in this issue, is called Kill Bargle, written by Jason Bullman, illustrated by Julie Dillon, with cartography by Rob Lazzaretti. This adventure is a throwback to the basic edition of D&D, many, many years before I started with D&D, so unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the original version. But I can only imagine that the nostalgia quotient in this adventure is very high for those that do remember going through that original version of the game. I find that this version does stand up on its own and is quite a good dungeon crawl. That's how it's listed in the game as the type of adventure it is. And the synopsis of the adventure, basically what the characters would be doing, is they're hired by the local town to collect a bounty on a troublesome wizard out in the outskirts of the town, Bargle. And the town has made it very clear to the adventurers that they want him alive or dead. Preferably dead. So, the PCs will be able to head off to the castle, the castle ruins, where Bargle has his headquarters. And don't you know, they run into some opposition. Dang it. There are kobolds aplenty for this low-level adventure, But come on, it's D&D. You can't expect not running into kobolds at low level. I mean, come on, they're kobolds. What do you expect? Goblins? Oh, no, wait, no, sorry. That's next month in Pathfinder. And overall, I can see that this is going to be a very interesting, very fun adventure to run a group of players through. I can't wait to be provided the opportunity to do so. Now, moving on, we move to the second adventure in the magazine. An adventure called Quoth the Raven, provided to us by none other than one of my favorites and yours, Nicholas Logue. The illustration is by Udon, and cartography, once again, by the overworked cartographer, none other than the map monkey, Rob Lazzaretti himself. Now, this adventure is set in Eberron, but really can be used in any urban setting. It is designed for a group of 4 8th-level PCs. It is a sequel to a prior Eberron adventure, also written by Nicholas, called The Chimes at Midnight, from Dungeon Issue 133. Now, in this adventure, it is a murder mystery. You are trying to track down a serial killer running around the streets of Sharn, the large metropolis for the Eberron campaign setting. For this adventure, you've got a serial killer that announces who he's going to kill, how he's going to kill them, by sending descriptions to the newspaper, the Inquisitive. And so, given off all these clues, the PCs have to try to stop the murders from taking place and try to track the actual serial killer down. As the adventure proceeds, the PCs find out that there is a personal tie to this serial killer to them. And I don't want to give too much away because, come on, if you give up too many spoilers to Nicholas Logue's adventures, they just don't become any fun at all. And I'd hate to steal the excitement from your party with one of Nicholas's adventures. The third part to this 3-part story arc will be published in issue 151 of Dungeon in October, and I can't wait to see what he does to finish off this trilogy. And of course, that leaves us with the high-level adventure for the issue. The finale, the 12th chapter of the Savage Tide Adventure Path. The grand finale, kids. You're going to take Demogorgon down, and take him down hard. At least, try to. It's not going to be easy, kids. The Prince of Demons, the high-level adventure for this issue of Dungeon, is written by Greg Vaughn, illustrated by Ben Wooten and Warren Mahe. Cartography again by Rob Lazzaretti. It is a planar adventure for 4 20th level characters. No one's pulling any punches, kids. Better make sure that the first 11 chapters prepared you for the onslaught of this adventure. So, what this adventure provides for you is an assault on a demon lord, the Prince of Demons, Demogorgon. Now, Demogorgon's got this savage tide he's going to release on the world, and of course, you guys want to stop him. So, the 11th chapter of the Savage Tide, the PCs went around gathering allies for this final assault on Demogorgon's lair of the Abyss. Now comes the battle. The PCs start off by announcing that the battle will start to all their allies. The allies all come for a war council, finalize all the final details, and the assault begins. The bulk of the adventure deals with the mass battle taking place in the lair of the Abyss that Demon Gorgon resides in, and how successful the PCs are with that battle in the various events that could take place in the battle determine on how successful the PCs are during the various events that would take place during the mass battle, determine how strong Demogorgon will be during their final confrontation with him. He could be anywhere from a CR 23 villain to a CR 33. So, if you don't plan your moves right during the battle, you could face your... if you don't plan accordingly during the mass battle, the final conflict, the showdown, will be harder than your PCs can handle. To give you an idea of how dangerous a challenge rating 33 Demogorgon is, he will have an AC of 59, 869 hit points, fast healing of 20, and a damage reduction of 20 / Cold Iron, Epic, and Good. So, and good. So, unless you're certain that a challenge rating 33 Demogorgon is going to be a piece of cake for you, I would suggest doing what you can to weaken his strength before you show up right in front of him. Now, as I usually state with any adventure, if there's new items, new monsters that are introduced in the magazine, I like to point them out. There are at least two new items of note in this adventure. First would be the acid launcher. Now, this is a siege weapon. Obviously, as I mentioned, the bulk of the chapter of the set. As I mentioned, the bulk of this adventure is with mass combat. So, not surprising that there's a siege weapon or two introduced in the stats for the adventure. The second item of note is the Force Missile Ballista. I wish I had this when my group had a mass combat. It would have been perfect. Basically, think of a ballista that throws magic missiles. Your typical 5 magic missile spread, and instead of hitting one target, you hit every target within a 30-foot radius. Yes. Also, in the adventure, a new monster, a new villain, a new threat, and I honestly don't know how these authors and writers think these things up. Scary, scary to picture Demogorgon, the Prince of Demons, and Malkanthet, the Queen of Succumbi, having a child. But that is exactly who Arendragost. But that is exactly who Arendragost is. The Maw of the Abyss is a CR 23 gargantuan outsider. Its description is as follows. It is huge, a corpulent thing of darkness and hate and madness. A trio of maws gape from vaguely fiendish heads, each gigantic rotting mouth filled with row upon row of fangs. An obscenity of anger the size of a house, its body a little more than a writhing tangle of tentacles, each large enough to crush the life out of a man with but a moment's idle whim. And even that description does not give the illustration justice. The artwork for this monster, this creature, is fantastic. I can't imagine that this issue of Dungeon, being the finale issue, Pezo's send-off, is fantastic. It stands up and surpasses all their past work. The quality of the work that they've done with this issue is unbelievable. The work that they've done since they received the license to publish the magazine from Wizards of the Coast has surpassed anything anybody expected from the magazine. I hope that when Wizards of the Coast begins working on their digital initiative and the online versions of Dragon and Dungeon, that they can come close to what Peizo has done the past few years. I would expect that with this being the final print issue of Dungeon, that this may or may not be the final issue of Dungeon that I provide a review for. With Wizards of the Coast's digital initiative, I don't know what shape the information will be, whether it will be capable of being reviewed in the same manner we would review a hard copy of the magazine. I do plan, though, to follow the people at Peizo and provide a review of the Pathfinder Chronicles as that is published and released. I already have a copy of Pathfinder 1 that I will be working on providing a review for and providing to the Tome. On behalf of the Tome, to the people at Peizo and anyone listening, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to provide these reviews of this quality product, and I hope to serve you well in the future. This is William Paul for the Tome.
Well, that was a great review for the final issue of Dungeon Magazine. If that sounds like something that's down your alley, run out and get them before they're gone. And of course, you can continue getting Dungeon Magazine and Dragon Magazine content, sort of, as a free during the free preview trial period on D&D Insider. If you have an account in the forums over there, or if you don't, you can sign up for an account, and that gives you access for a few months anyway to the online version of Dragon and Dungeon over at Wizards of the Coast, which is at wizards.com. So far, there's not normal D&D content that you would expect from Dungeon or Dragon. Right now, it's all just focusing on what's going on, sort of behind the scenes, and giving you some editorial content and that kind of thing. But there is a little bit there, mostly letting you know what's going on with 4th edition. Well, that was the final issue of Dungeon Magazine. And in the future, I look forward to hearing more from William. Specifically, he's going to be looking at Pathfinder from Peizo. As always, I urge and welcome listeners to help the show in any way you can. One of the best ways is to participate. Send in your emails or audio comments to thetomeshow@gmail.com, or let me know if you're interested in reporting for the show regularly. You can also instant message me, leave an audio, or call the Tome hotline at 206-888-6126. You can also dig the show at dig.com, vote for us at Podcast Alley, or leave an iTunes review. All of these things help the show get noticed, and I really appreciate that. And most of this can be found at the website at www.thetomeshow.com. I also want to point out that if you go and visit thetomeshow.com, click on over to our forums. I am releasing regularly information that I'm gathering about 4th edition on the forums. These are all things that will show up in an upcoming episode, but if you're looking for a behind the scenes or an early look at what's going on in 4th edition, hop on over to those forums and check them out. I'm releasing as much as I can find, as quickly as I can find it, and I'm sticking to only official news. No rumors, no gossip, no conjecture, just what I'm hearing or what I'm reading from official sources. Basically, I'm scavenging and scouring the message boards and the blogs and the podcasts and that kind of stuff for information to help consolidate it all into one place for you so that you don't have to spend hours and hours doing that kind of stuff. Well, this has been episode 28, the final dungeon of
The Tome.